All right, Luke chapter 3. It's talking about John the Baptist and what he said. Verse 7. Then he, the Baptist, said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, O sons of the snake, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And as we studied yesterday, the word for multitude here doesn't include the leaders and the Sadducees, and he's going to talk to them in a minute, but this is talking to the general public, the common folk, if you will. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? From his standpoint and from the standpoint of Jesus, the whole human race is the sons of the snake. Remember, that's why the predicate of Christianity is your death and the abandonment of self, the disowning of self, so that Christ in you lives. But who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Hath warned is a word that means to show by words or evidence or argument. What argument have you received? Why are you here? Is what he was saying. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Let's look at flee means to shun or to avoid by flight. It's fuego. It's the same word for fire in Spanish. Let's go to Matthew 23. We're looking at fleeing. Now that was John the Baptist. Now this is Jesus. I think we read this yesterday, but I'm going to read it again. We're starting verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now, this isn't talking to them. It's talking to us. And that's why this mystery of God has nothing to do with what the outside looks like or what the outside appearance or words are. God only sees the religious service that's going on within you. And it's obvious he's talking to all of us, because we know that without the cross, without our death, this, no matter how good you think you are, you're full of dead men's bones. You're full of extortion and excess. You're full of lust and anger and murder. And that's every single human that has ever lived, because that's the fruit of the fall. Now, here's what he says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of these which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, every church that I've been to, whenever, if this was read at all, it was read as history. That this was speaking to those guys back there that did the bad stuff. There's no preaching that I've heard, except from a couple places where the church is persecuted, that teaches that you are the one that killed the prophets. You, had you been there, you would have yelled, "Crucify Christ." You are the one that is trying to appear nice outwardly, but inside you're full of excess and extortion. And until that's seen, then we will create a church of hypocrites. And this is why it's so critical in the first century that a church was small. It had to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people, so that you couldn't hide. You've heard me talk about the survey that Barna did. It was about mega churches, of why people go to mega churches. And there were three reasons that people go to mega churches. The first one is the service makes them feel better about themselves. The second one is they enjoy the music and the presentation. And the third is anonymity. Now, let's face it, each one of us would love anonymity with regard to God. We don't want to have to lay down our life for the person next to us. We don't want to give them whatever they need. We want anonymity. We want to live on our own private philosophy that's never tested. That's why the next verse says, "You serpents, in verse 32, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers." You have to fill up to see that you are that one, that you are the chief of sinners, that there's no good thing that dwelleth in you. And then he says, "You serpents, you generation of vipers." And the word viper there is not just a snake. It's a word that means a poisonous snake. "You serpents, you generations of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Now let's look at some more fleas. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Remember, that's what flea, we're studying flea. I'm sorry I got off on that rant. First Corinthians, chapter 6. Verse 18. "Flee fornication. Every sin that as a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." That's kind of important. So we want to flee that. Now let's go to see what else we flee. 1 Timothy 6. I turned right to it. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil, perverse surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Supposing that gain is godliness. For we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and perceive and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. This is something that every single one of us fall into. Each one of us, in our own way, suppose that gain is godliness. Now, we're not talking about necessarily money. We're talking about gain even to the understanding of the mystery of God. Anything that we gain is a loss to Christ. And that's so critical because we think we try to learn something. We don't learn anything. Everything that this mystery is about is unlearning, so that you can make room for that which is life, that which is Christ in you. He doesn't need your help. So flee thinking that you're going to gain something. Flee thinking you're going to hear some words that tickle you. Flee so that you can come finally to the end of self. Amen? We need Gary here. It's boring without Gary. So you, David can be the Gary today. Do you have any response to any of this? He every time thing I say something, he's sitting there and the wheels are turning, and so then I tell him I smell the grease burning. Well, I kind of smell the grease burning from you.
You don't hear this. You hear the opposite. You hear blessing. God's blessing you. Look at these things. Look at where you live or have gotten from God. That's blessing. And it's not just with the prosperity.
No, I know.
It's everywhere.
So, what do you do? So, if you're honest, you love the prosperity stuff, right? But you have to come to you have to flee that. Because that's, you know that there's nothing good in you. All right? What? No, your grease is burning now.
Is there any prosperity of any sort through total abandonment?
It's not your business.
Can I just get a little bit?
You're dead.
I heard chuckles to the right of me.
No, because he's laughing at himself.
Yeah.
Actually, it was me, and I was laughing at what he said.
You were laughing?
Yeah.
No, listen. The predicate of Christianity. Let's go to Colossians 3. General Electric Power Company, right after Philippians. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which were above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead. Let's go to Galatians 2. Just go to the left a minute. verse 20. I am crucified. Does anybody doubt what crucified means?
Well, their word dead.
Dead. I am crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Yet not I. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not even faith in anymore. You live by the faith of his life manifested in you. None of your life is your business. You've been bought with a price. We could go on and on if you want to, but we are buried in baptism. We're baptized and buried so that we won't stink up the church. You don't want any dead bodies stinking up the church. So the greatest word for flee here, the word is fuego, as I said, but the best thing, if you can flee yourself, that's what repentance means. You disown you.
That's another word for abandonment.
Right. Disown yourself. That's the only place there's peace and joy and life. Aren't you tired of spending all your efforts trying to figure out what to do with yourself? Doesn't that get boring? Aren't you tired of hearing all this ridiculous crap about what you can do to improve? That's never worked for anybody. It's evident. Oh, no, but it works for me. Yeah, right. How's that worked out for you, Jeff?
Never last.
Well, you can't. It doesn't work for anybody. Well, I mean, I have my former campaign chairman, Sam Wiley. It's worth over $1 billion. I met with him when it wasn't quite $1 billion by then. It was probably $500 million the last time I talked with him.
Right.
And I looked at him, and we were sitting in a restaurant face to face, and I said, Sam, has all this ever brought you any peace? Have you gained anything from all this money? And no. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is about. Whatever Solomon saw, whatever he wanted, he had the means to gain whatever he wanted. He had several hundred wives and about two or three times as many concubines. He had the riches of all of the entire world. He had the power of power. And yet he said it's all vain, empty, and chasing wind. Now you can say, well, I haven't had that opportunity, so I get to chase wind. That's what vexation of spirit means, chasing wind. So you got, well, I don't want $1 million. I just want 100,000. Or like Ronnie, I just want a little house with a picket fence by it. I just want to be a normal person. How boring can that be? Can you empathize and put yourself in those positions where you think you want, but have the integrity to really see yourself in those positions? I promise you, there's nothing that you can imagine that you want that will give you anything. Bottom line, flee yourself. That's what faith is. Faith is living by the faith of Christ, no longer in him. That's child's play. I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have anything else? David, what's going on?
You know, bittersweet. This is pretty appropriate. Unemployed, and as a husband, my wife and I are under a therapeutic separation. And the whole time you were talking, I was wondering how you, in a relationship, how do you set your mind on heavenly things instead of temporal things?
Because then you love your wife as Christ loved the church.
It became clear as you were speaking, it's you flee yourself.
Amen.
To love.
The moment you put you in the picture for any reason, whether that is bitterness or anything else, then the marriage will fall apart. You're not, it doesn't matter whether it's marriage or business or whatever it is, you leave yourself. The word business in Greek means, it means meeting need. It doesn't mean you getting stuff. If you get stuff, it's incidental. But the only thing that lasts is love. The only thing, it's faith which worketh by love. All of you know, there's nothing that I own that I wouldn't give you. There's nothing that you need that I won't help you get. It's unimportant. Well, I'd kind of like to be out of pain, but other than that, it's unimportant what happens to me. I don't really care. I have no investment in my own life. I hope that's evident. And that's all that this book is about. It's about you being outside of time and space, on the mercy seat, in eternity. You're not subject to time anymore. And the only reason you're here is to pour yourself out for others. But until you get rid of that idea that gain, it doesn't matter whether it's a relationship or a friend or anything. You don't get anything by trying to get it. You get the fulfillment of your heart by giving.
Amen.
Now, what I teach is pretty radical. I mean, it's all about, you know, his life versus your debt. To me, that's the predicate of Christianity. And if his resurrection isn't in me, then I will die. I have no, from the day that I became a believer, I could never help myself. I could never do anything to benefit myself. I thought about it a lot. And I'm sure I've done it, but I have enough spiritual knowledge to know that even the thinking about it is resurrecting the evil one from his deadly head wound. The evil one is you. You don't do sin, you are sin. Who is the instead of Christ in you? That's what anti means, instead of. Each person on the face of the earth is the Antichrist, is the instead of Christ, because this is a temple of God, but we've made it our own. It's so easy, it's so simple, but you have to have the integrity of seeing yourself correctly instead of the illusions. Amen.
Amen.
What?
It's
You're taking over the ministry of Gary?
I wish I had knowledge that would make me any better.
All righty. Thank you, Father. Take it, big guy.